At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody, and
I'm Heather.
I am here with my beautiful, perfect, amazing co-host, who also happens to be my wife. We're going to start off each week like we always do. We're going to kind of do a little bit of check-in, keep our finger on each other's pulse, make sure everything's still going good. So, baby doll, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a pretty good week. However, I did just get done bawling. Or not bawling. I wouldn't say it was bawling. I was having a moment with my amazing husband because I am really struggling with the fact that I'm happily married and we just had a great, awesome celebratory day and I got to hang out with you all day. And then it was just... I was trying on outfits for our deal tomorrow and you were playing a song just like you always do, just picking it. and I listened to the words, I guess, just at a time that really hit and started crying because I wouldn't change the last 2 years for anything. But if there was a way that I could take away some memories from it, I totally would. I hate it so much here. And it's like,
and she doesn't mean here, like in the house with me. She means where her head is at right now.
I'm so tired of being sad over somebody that's not a real person. Mm. And I've even had a friend basically tell me that, well, okay, I'll say it how I took it. And then I'll let you explain that she's not that way. And it's probably me just overthinking it, but I had a friend basically tell me that heartbreak is going to be easier for me, or is easier for me, and that's how I'm able to get over it so much quicker, is because I have Cody, because I have a husband, that I couldn't be sad for long, because why would I be? I broke up with somebody that's really inconsequential to our life, and... I'm still here. And so
now the way that you took that, I had mentioned to you before we started the show, and you know, Heather and I had, we had a bit of a misunderstanding because when she told me that, I was like, well, yeah. And you know, I agreed with her and
not me, my friend.
Yeah. And the way that I think that it was intended, because this friend is not like that. She's not going to tell you that. And the way that I think it was intended and the way that I took it was, this is going to be easier for both of us because we have each other as support, right? I'm here to catch you. You're there to catch me. We're there to help each other through this. It's not that it's going to be easier or that your feelings mean less or that your heartbreak doesn't matter as much. It's the fact that you and I have each other as support to get through this together.
I know, but... I have you and a core group of girls, and one of those core group of girls are the ones that said it. Right. Now I feel like I've already taken it just to my other couple of friends because I don't want to be told anything else that is going to make me feel like even more of an idiot and like a piece of crap wife.
When hurt is this fresh,
it's one, not that you're fresh. Why can't I?
You're not a piece of crap wife at all. And don't say things like that. They're not true. They're blatantly untrue. So stop. You got to stop being so fucking mean to yourself. It's not healthy. The reason that it is so fresh is because you keep trying to rush yourself through this. You're not giving yourself the time, and you're not giving yourself the space that you need to really get through this and process it. You're trying to just be okay and do it immediately because you want everyone else to be okay, and you want them to be that way immediately. I get it 100%, but you can't. That's not how it works. So
how come it works for other people?
Because other people grieve differently than you do.
I've never been a griever. This is stupid.
Well, I don't know that you felt a heartbreak quite like this one either.
Which takes us into us trying to be more available to our viewers and stuff. So we're trying to post a little bit more on Facebook. And that goes along with one that you sent. You sent me a picture that you just found. Mm-hmm. And it was... grief is the proof that love was there.
Yeah, grief is the proof that love once existed.
Once existed. Y'all, I was watching a movie. I was doing nothing, but it hit. And it hit hard. And it didn't last long. I mean, it didn't last long. I cried. I felt it. I let it out. And then Cody came home and we talked about it. And that happened. I don't know. I feel like I'm about to bore all of our listeners because I'm crying and they're like, oh my God, this bitch is just crying all the time. And I don't mean to be, because I'm not a crybaby, but
all of the feedback that we've gotten so far has been positive. Even when I'm a big old crybaby on here.
Yeah, they love that. Boys don't do that. So they love that.
You are entirely too hard on yourself. And I think that everyone listening to this episode is going to tell you the same thing. You are way too hard on yourself. You're beating yourself up so fucking much for no reason. Literally no reason. You are feeling normal human emotions. And I know you're superwoman, but you're also human. So what you're feeling is normal. What you're going through is normal. And you are dragging your own self through the mud so goddamn much that you're just hurting yourself more. And not giving yourself the time that you need to heal. You have to give yourself some grace.
I booped the microphone. I'm sorry.
It's fine. We expect grace from other people when we fuck up. You know, just like with our misunderstanding the other day. I expect grace from you when I fuck up. Even if it's a misunderstanding. You have to give yourself the same grace. You have to. And you're not right now. And I don't know how to change that.
I don't either.
But we have to.
I don't know either.
We have to figure it out.
I go through emotions. Like, I don't know. You know. Seeing him and punching him. Or making you go punch him. Or something stupid. You know, going over there to the house and just basically doing what I did the other day on his porch and just be like, I'm gonna talk to you through this stupid door because I want answers, but I know I'm never gonna get them and I don't care. It was a fake person. I know all of that. And then it just turns everything upside down again in my brain because I'm like, why do you keep, like, what? I don't know. I am just having a day. Well, not a day, having an hour.
You're feeling normal human emotion.
Ugh. I don't think it sucks.
Well, that's because you're used to being superwoman and being there for everybody and not feeling these emotions, but they're real. They're normal. And now you need to feel them and you need to process them instead of just shoving them down.
I'm crying all the time. I'm not trying to shove it down. I'm trying to let it out.
Baby, you have said several times, why is this still happening? Why is it not over yet? Why is this still happening? So yes, you are trying to shove them down. By not giving yourself the grace that we were just talking about, you are trying to shove them down.
Oh, I'm not meaning to. I don't know how to stop it or what I'm doing.
Stop being mad at yourself.
I'm not mad at myself. I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I know I am not perfect, so there were things that, yes, could have been handled differently or whatever, but in the grand scheme of things, I was the piece of trash my dad thought of us when he left our family, you know, like, and went for somebody else. Like, I guess I haven't felt like that in a long time.
What makes you feel like that, though?
The way that he left, the way that it ended, the way that it was literally, I love you, Thursday. And then Friday we had plans for a sleepover. And then by Saturday, well, I guess, I mean, we knew it was already done on Saturday. And then Sunday, me going to the house.
But you know that doesn't make you a piece of trash.
I understand.
That means somebody fumbled hard.
I know.
By losing you.
But what I'm saying is it's like, don't get me wrong, that the girl person, she was, I mean, before this, sweet as could be. I mean, I loved her. We were friends before this. But, so I'm not saying it's like, because it's not like a trade-up. I'm not saying like he went younger or went whatever. She's closer to her age. She's more, whatever. Hmm. But, I guess it's just moved on so quickly there. And the only reason I know that is because we have a little girl that tells us and is upset by it. And it's like I keep ripping the Band-Aid off, or somebody keeps ripping it off, you know? And I'm just tired of it. I know you have to be tired of it.
No.
My kids. If I get too quiet for too long, even if I'm just watching a movie, our son is like, Mom, you good? And I'm like, oh my God.
It's because we're raising good people. And yes, I've said that to you 1,000 times, and every time you bring that up, I'm going to tell you the exact same thing 1,000 more times. It's because we're raising good people, and they care about you. So when he's asking if you're okay, it's to check and see how you're doing. It's not because he's tired of anything. It's not because they're over anything. It's because...
Not tired or over it, but like, they shouldn't have to worry about this. That's all I did when I was growing up, is worry about all the relationships. And that's why I am the way I am, I think. It's, that's why I'm so hard on myself. Because I would morph myself into whatever Heather was needed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know.
The Heather that's needed at this time is the Heather that's going to allow herself to feel these things, to get through them in a healthy way, and to process and to heal. That's the Heather that's needed.
How was I so easy to get rid of if... I mean, me and you were legally married, but that one Christmas,
mm-hmm.
he asked for your permission. I mean, like that, and he's just, that's it. It's moved on. We're done. I was the first woman he bought diamonds for, or at least according to him. You know, that was a cherished big deal that he was able to give me, that I was like, oh my gosh, I have two of the best blah, blah, blahs. Oh,
it don't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't.
And I don't think we'll ever make it make sense.
I know. But I don't want to be like this forever, because
you're not going to be like this forever.
I know, or in the what ifs or what happens. Or. But I will say this. I know the MF-er feels something, because anytime he sees you at gym, his happy little ass turns around and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's the only satisfaction I have, when you come home and be like, yep, he was there and turned around. And I'm like, yeah, fuck off.
You're going to get through this.
That's so stupid. All right, you give us our... We had a big day. I told him, I said a celebratory dinner earlier. Because it has been a good day. It really, really freaking has. It's just moments.
Hey, you're going to get through this. You're not going to be like this forever. Okay? We have to address this. We have to process it. And we have to heal.
Okay? We've addressed it, and we processed as much as we could process tonight. I have to figure out how to get myself okay with not knowing. And that is freaking hard.
Yeah.
I mean, just like I said in that post, what our daughter named, like, she's already picked out our grandparent names for us. She did it when she was 5, and she got her first, like, real-life baby doll. So I'm going to be Lolly, and Daddy over here is Pops. And then she had deemed the other dude Pop-Pop. And there wasn't a day in those 2 years that I didn't see that happening. Y'all would still be, like, wearing underwear with my face on it at, like, 80 and 85 years old, hitting each other or smacking each, and me laughing up at all of it.
It sucks when our plans don't work out.
That's exactly what you said. I don't know. And it does. But there you go. Those have been my hang-ups, the random. It hasn't been like that all week. It hasn't been like that every day. It really is just for, like, an hour or something.
Well, then we're making progress. Because a few weeks ago, it was like that all day, every day. So, you're making progress.
I know I am. And I try to remind myself that sometimes it... I guess when I'm having a good day, like, look at you, girl. Mm-hmm. Look at you go. I said, girl. Look at you go, girl. You know, like, ugh. But yes, it's not whole days. And as soon as we get on and we start talking about our very first comments from one of our listeners, you know, it'll go to the back of my mind like it does.
We got to hold on to those silver linings, right?
Yeah. That's why I tell everybody, find your silver linings.
Then you got to hold on to yours.
I know.
You're making progress. That's a hell of a silver lining.
I know.
You're moving. It may not be as fast as you want it to, but you're moving. And that's something. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a plus. That's positive.
Yep.
Okay.
Hold on. So you're checking.
I'm doing good. Since last week, I've been getting all that off my chest. I've been a lot better. I actually came out of depression a little bit. I don't know, out of it's a weird word to say, but yeah,
like, I felt, you went to the back of your brain or something.
Yeah, I felt better for the past week. Like I said, Heather and I had a misunderstanding a couple of days ago, and that was, you know, that when that happens, that sucks, but, you know, we have dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And we're past it, so yeah, I mean, I'm good.
So stopping for a second, because that is something somebody asked. And later is how we deal with conflict. I mean, my feelings were hurt.
Mm-hmm. Her feelings were hurt, and I...
And yours was confused, because you didn't know...
Well, I understood why, but I was also very confused, because that's not what I meant at all. And I think one of the reasons that we work so well together is because we are able to call each other on stuff. And, you know, one of the things I told you was, you know, don't put words into my mouth. If I'm saying something, that's what I mean. And... it seemed like once I said that, it was kind of a realization that, you know, I didn't mean these terrible things that you were saying. I didn't mean all this stuff. And
that goes back to the friend thing, like you said earlier. I know that. And my rational brain can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
When our hurt is fresh, though, we're going to take the anything fresh that can be... It is... we've already went over this. It is. And when hurt is fresh like that, we're going to take anything that can be misconstrued, and we're going to misconstrue it. You know, that's just our human nature. So, you know, I understood that. I understood that it was a misunderstanding. But at the same time, you know, I was confused, and I was really frustrated, because I was not saying these things. I was not agreeing to anything. And, you know, in her mind, I was. And the way that we dealt with that was we talked about it. We kind of ran into it head on. You know, of course, I gave her a little bit of time to cool down, and, because that's something that she needs. And me, I like to try to tackle stuff as soon as it happens. And that doesn't work out all the time. Yeah, it does sometimes, but it doesn't work out all the time.
For the most part, no. I am declaring myself, I'm an emotional knee-jerk reactor. That's why he said that's what she needs, is because otherwise it's like, it's all the big feels at one time. Mm-hmm. It's like my brain spazzes out. And it's all the big feels. So whatever comes out of my mouth is going to be hateful. I mean, and that's something I'm working on enough to know that that's what I do. Mm. And so that
there's... And I'm I'm working hard on being able to give her that time.
And we're not saying for like days.
Yeah, no, just a couple hours.
Yeah, I just need to back away from it so we don't come, so I don't come, I don't, again, I don't know if this is because of how I was taught and the mother I had. She was really good at her getcha bitchy names and make you feel bad. Not so much to me, but like what she said to all my stepdads. Mm. And I don't like being that, you know, but for me, that's what it is. I react, I'm a lot, at least, I feel like, I don't know, what do you think? I feel like I'm a lot more emotional than I have been in our whole 13 years. Mm-hmm. And
I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. But, you know, the knee-jerk reactions can be a problem. And whenever we actually take the time to cool down a little bit and think about the situation, it always helps. So I'm working at being better at, you know, giving myself and her that time that we both really need to kind of get through that in a healthy way. You know, as much as I don't like it, I don't like her being mad at me for even a couple hours. But, you know, sometimes that's just what it takes. And then we can sit down and talk about what's happening and go from there.
Well, and sometimes, truthfully, it might not even take the couple hours that we need. It's just like my brain, you know, it'll be one of the Heathers that are up there talking. Okay, picture inside out, our little control board up there. It's like, it will be like, girl, bitch, you messed up. Like, you lost your mind and you knew, you didn't even think about it. You knew what was happening and that he didn't mean it. Like, so I have those moments. And then I do have times where I will say I've caught myself a couple times where you were picking and it was right there, you know, like to come back at you. But my filter was there enough to get it to be like, no. And I let you just finish talking. And then I was like, okay, you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't like you're wrong, but it was, we were able to have a communication without me getting my feelings hurt, I guess, or misunderstanding something. And anyways, I'm recognizing that now. That's not something I've ever really thought about with, I mean, even before, I will say that's like the last 2 years. That doesn't have anything to do with him.
I think it's got a lot to do with our delving so far into the lifestyle and learning how to go through it. And the best way is always communication, right?
Yeah.
That's the basis of everything. So we have learned the best way for us to communicate and the things that we need out of that. And we communicated that to one another so that we can communicate healthily.
And we fucking love the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
That's... I know there's some of our vanilla friends that don't believe that it's brought us closer. Mm. And they've, you know, taken bets on when the big D comes out. But it's not like that. Like, we talk, nothing was wrong before.
Mm.
I know we've said that too. Nothing was wrong prior to us trying it out.
Right.
We just figured out that we were kind of kinky sexual people.
Mm.
And are okay with ourselves and within our relationship that we don't mind opening it up.
Mm. We don't mind sharing each other.
Yeah. You know? I like passing you off around like a toy. So
I enjoy it a lot as well.
I know. I don't know why. And I don't know if it's like we totally see a different train track has came about. Mm. Cause I don't know that I'm like, no, I'm losing it. It's gone. It's going away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like using you as a toy or sharing you as a toy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there was a reason. Oh, it's going like I'm trying to catch it in my brain.
There. I can see it.
God bless America. I think my edibles are kicking in. I interrupted your check-in. I am so sorry.
It's okay. But other than that, I've been really, really fucking stressed about this CDO school that I was in. I had got my test date a couple weeks ago and I knew that it was coming up. And that kind of added to what was going on last week. And then my test was actually earlier today. And I ended up passing on the first attempt.
Just so, like I knew you would.
I was nervous about it. And I will admit, you know, I got in there and there was part of it where I forgot literally half of what I was supposed to say until I was almost through it. And I was like, oh yeah, hey, let's talk about this, this, and this real quick. And he was like, okay, it's a good thing you said that because you wouldn't have passed without it. So Yeah, I mean, I was nervous, but you know, I've got it out of the way, and now the
your arms look so good in that shirt.
Thank you. My stress level is way down. My anxiety is way down. I'm feeling a lot better now. It's like a weight off my shoulders.
And we really did we really had a good day. It was a lazy day. Mm-hmm. If anybody saw it, he chose to take a nap and just hang out here at the house versus going to eat or go to a movie or something. And that was really special to me. As I found out, not a him and I thing, but a thing I need now is I need a little bit more touch time. Mm-hmm. And so whether or not he knew that's what he was doing for me, he did it. So even I couldn't fall back.
I don't think I meant to fall asleep on your shoulder like I did, but I was tired. I was wiped. And I think it was the adrenaline of, you know, this big moment finally being here. And I was literally like the entire time thinking I'm on the edge of failing. I'm this close. I'm not going to
talk about being hard on yourself.
Well, because I kept fucking up, you know, and that's not me being hard on myself. That's being realistic. Mm-hmm. You get 30 points on your CDL exam, right? Mm-hmm. You get 30 points. I got 28. So two more points, two more mess ups. I would have had to go back next week and take another test. So, you know, I was right there on the edge, but
I had no worry about you.
It's like I told the examiner, he was like, man, he's like, you did good. You passed. He said, just so you know, this is your score. I said, hey man, I'm not looking for perfect. I said, C's get degrees. And he just started laughing. Yeah. So, you know, but I think it was the adrenaline of coming off of that. Cause my plan was to come back to the house and then go back to the DMV.
Yeah. There was get a whole
everything
plan.
Done. And then I laid down on the floor and I was like, man, I could take a nap. So we did.
I don't even know why you laid down on the floor. Oh, I was doing my hair or something.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to get ready.
Yes, because he was like, let's go eat. Let's go do this. And then we'll get the kids and we'll go out for it. You know, it was just like this whole afternoon. So I was like, oh my God, I'm still in sweats. And my so I'm just trying to throw my hair in a messy top knot and go. But as soon as I get everything done, he's like, you know what? Let's just stay. Okay.
I can go do all that later. Let's just stay here. And I did. As soon as we laid down in bed, I laid my head on her shoulder and I died. So I needed it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it was enough that I'm still sleepy. Like
You're ready for this now. Yeah.
We get done with this recording and I get it uploaded and I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
For sure. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been a good day. It's been a good week. Like I said, I've been stressed, but other than that, it's been other than stress and, you know, that one misunderstanding, it's been really good. So I've been able to hit the gym every day, but today I wanted to get a little bit extra sleep today. So I didn't go to the gym this morning, but been able to hit the gym every day. That's been helping a lot. So, you know, it's just find what works to keep you happy and keep at it. And that's what keeps me happy is mm-hmm. going and hurting myself in the gym every day. So, but
well, lead us into our first listener's comment.
So, like she said, we have got our first listener request for content.
Request. There we go.
And, this is a really, really good request. It's from a relatively new couple into the lifestyle. And I think that this will
not help relatively a lot of, new,
well, new, brand new, yeah. new. But this will help a lot of people. If you're thinking about getting into the lifestyle, or if you're kind of wondering what someone's mindset is coming in, this is a list of more or less fears that that someone has when getting into the lifestyle. And I think this list she's put together is really good. We're going to go through this, and then Heather and I will we'll let you in on our mindset that we had when we were coming in and see if any of this matches up.
And some of it kind of goes together, and I don't know even if she realizes, because she's so new, how it will go together. Like her first one, let's lead into it. It's envy as a bi-curious couple.
Right.
Being attracted to your spouse's partner.
Yeah.
Well, that also goes hand in hand with another one that she says, and it's FOMO, which is
fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your spouse getting more or less attention and one of you feeling left out. So, Cody, this is a good topic for you because of
where we were. You know, there's been a few times where Heather will be talking to someone, and even if it's just like in the Facebook groups or something like that online, she'll be talking to these women and I'll be like, man, I've had a crush on her for a while. You know, I'm kind of jealous of my wife right now for getting to talk to this girl. And it definitely happens. You know, one thing
I don't think so.
No,
I
it
think,
does.
I think so many more people like you and they're like, oh, hey, hi.
That's because you're kind of dumb.
No, whatever.
So, but I mean,
you're a freaking catch and they people know that. And
envy and jealousy is one of those things that no matter what you hear, is always going to be present in the lifestyle. It's just how you deal with it,
yes.
Right? So a lot of our jealousy comes from that fear of missing out. It comes from wanting what our partner has. And that's another thing she listed on here is jealousy. Your spouse's partner pleasing them in a different or better way than you do.
And you got to look at it not in a better way. It's in a different way.
Right. But, you know, going back to what most jealousy comes from, is it's called situational jealousy, right? We're jealous of the situation. We're not jealous of the person. We're not even necessarily jealous of what that person is doing. We're jealous that we're not in that situation, right? So it's important that we figure out what kind of jealousy that we're dealing with. And there are several different kinds of jealousy. Sure. But it's important that we figure out what kind of jealousy we're dealing with and then address why we're feeling that, right?
Yeah.
We can't
like
just...
you have to take a look in as to why you're having that jealousy.
Right. You can't just put it on your partner and say, hey, I'm jealous when you do this. Stop. You know, that's if you're going to be successful in this lifestyle, you can't do that. And really, if you're going to be successful in a relationship, period, you can't do that. You know, if you're, say you're in a monogamous relationship and your wife has a friend at work that happens to be male and you get jealous every time she talks about this guy. Well, it's one of her friends. It's not anything untoward happening. It's just one of her friends.
Yeah.
But in your mind, all of this other stuff is happening. Well, look inside yourself and figure out why you're thinking that.
Maybe your first high school girlfriend did it and it's like a trigger now for you.
Figure out why you are feeling that jealousy and address it within yourself. Jealousy is something that can be beaten. It's something that we are all going to have and it's something we're all going to feel. But how you deal with it is what separates a mature, grown individual from more or less a high schooler. You know what I mean? And I hate to say that because I don't want to alienate our listeners, but I mean, that is what it is. If you're going to be mature and deal with your feelings, then you have to deal with all of your feelings, not just the ones that you like, you know?
I think that's something too, that people that aren't in the lifestyle can misconstrue a little bit too. The maturity level or something. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's all you guys think about. Just having sex with each other and being like that.
One thing I've heard is that there is no jealousy, you know. And you must not be jealous at all, you know, if you're able to do that. Well, no, but it's different, right? I don't view you as my property.
Exactly.
You're not mine. Yes, you are mine, right? You are my wife.
Yes.
But you're not mine to keep.
Mm-hmm.
You are a person. You are a woman with your own needs and desires. I am a man with my own needs and desires. Correct. Neither one of us are the others to control.
Yeah.
So viewing it like that, it makes it a lot easier to be quote unquote okay with anything that's going to happen. Right. Jealousy.
I'm just thinking the shared experience though of it. And I'm not even talking about us doing things together. I mean, we play separately probably more than we've played together.
Yeah.
But there it's going. It's like right there, just trickling away. Continue. It'll pop back, and I'm going to interrupt you again.
But that jealousy does come up, you know. I mean, and there's, you know, when Heather starts talking to somebody new, I feel that pang of jealousy, and it's there. But I ask myself, why am I feeling this jealousy? What is making me feel this way? And why is it happening? Is it something that I need to talk to her about, or is it something that I need to examine in myself? And I guarantee you 99.999% of the time, it's something in me that I have to examine and figure out why am I feeling like this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's so much easier to deal with it that way than it is to just sit and be pissed off and jealous and grumpy. And then eventually you just put a stop to the whole fucking thing. You close so many doors on yourself by doing that. You close so many doors on your partner by doing that. So, you know, in this list of fears, you know, one thing that I would like to do is address them and figure out how to get past them. Well, envy, jealousy, and the fear of missing out, you can all deal with in the same ways by asking yourself, why am I feeling this? And what do I need to do to get past it? Sometimes it's going to be talking to your partner. Like, for instance, what she listed, envy is a bicurious partner, or a bicurious couple. Oh, what?
I remember the thought.
Okay.
Okay. That, how we're just sex fiends and all this crap, and we're immature because we can't have a mature love if we're doing this. We don't truly love one another because we're doing this.
Right.
But the maturity level that you have to be successful and happy in a poly or lifestyle like we live, an ethical, non-monogamous one.
Well, and don't get me wrong, there are people who are immature, and there are people who are only about the sex, right? But those
aren't the people that are successful in the lifestyle.
And those are the people that you kind of stay away from.
Exactly.
You
know?
But, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. It takes a very mature person to be able to maintain a healthy relationship with all this other stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I know some elderly friends, you know, that are not in the lifestyle and don't understand the lifestyle or why we choose to do it, which always makes me giggle because I know the dad has his own little stack of his fun magazines, and those aren't all of your wife. So how, you know, like that's how, and, but with this person, with this individual, we can talk about that like that. But, and that's how we always end it is he was like, it's not my gig. But it's working for you.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta have that kind of grace
yeah.
with it.
And we're not, the whole thing of this podcast is we're not trying to sway anybody.
No, And it's not meant for everybody.
That's one thing we fully recognize is that this is not everyone's gig. But if it is yours, then this is what it takes to get through it.
Yeah.
You know?
And we're not, like I said, we had it wasn't a big blowout fight the other day, but my feelings really got hurt because I thought he was agreeing by like, yeah, bitch, you should be over this by already. And that's not who Cody is. But in that moment, because my feelings were still hurt from one of my really good friends saying that, which, again, I know probably did not mean it in the way I took it. That. Take it.
Train's gone again.
Yep. But you see it came back, right?
I see
like,
it was there
I'm gonna
for
have
a minute.
I'm going to have to see one of the friends old time it to be like, uh-oh, Heather stopped. Okay. And then when it comes back, we'll have to see if it's like a 2 or 3 minute thing, maybe.
So for those especially, envy, jealousy, and fear of missing out, those are ones that you're going to have to let yourself deal with. You know, it's not necessarily something that you're always going to go to your partner about. Like, hey, I'm jealous of this situation. Help me through it, right? You can.
And, I was about to say, you can.
Yeah, and that is a perfectly healthy way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps whenever you do approach it like that to already know inside, this is why I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Right? This is why I'm feeling this way.
Or for you to be able to accept your partner saying, what happened to you for you? Like, you know,
what's the,
for them to point out
what's
your insecurity.
The root cause of this?
Exactly.
One thing I tell our son all the time is, you know, if you're going to solve a problem, you have to find the root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help just to take care of the symptoms. You have to find the root of the problem to really fix it, right? So your partner could ask you these questions like, why, let's dig deeper. Why are you feeling that way? You know, not just, hey, I think that I'm attracted to this person as well. I'm jealous. Let's not do this, right? Well, let's get deeper. Why can we not both be attracted to this person?
Yeah.
Why can we not both pursue the same person at the same time, right? Why is this an issue? And a lot of that's going to point back to, you know, our learned monogamous behavior, right? And again, monogamous people, I'm not trashing you at all, you know, but...
for real, because... The lifestyle isn't for everybody.
Right.
Just like being an oil field wife or a trucker's wife or whatever, police, fireman, it's not for everybody. So we are not ever trashing any of our monogamous friends.
But if you're going to be, shit, I lost my train of thought now. God damn it.
Whoa, that never happens.
Well, it's because you've gotten on an interrupting kick lately.
I always do that.
Especially where is that going?
Especially when LaRue starts to cruise in here. Okay, well, here, I'll help you out. There's this one thing that, because I, talking about what you're talking about, the dishonesty, and this person said one spouse not being honest about feeling the need to, quote unquote, take one for the team because the other person is interested in someone.
Mm.
there's been a couple times where I've come to you and had to say, not because you were pressuring it, but because I knew you were interested in one part of the couple, but I was definitely not. And being like, babe, I don't know that I could, I don't know that I want to do this. And I'm like, I could watch or I could be there if that's what they want, but it's not my gig. I mean, you have to be able to talk and figure out, like, because we're not in it. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Right. We're never in it to take one for the team.
Yeah.
And if you're having to take one for the team,
you need to readjust. You need to look at
your team. Yeah. Right. You need to talk to your teammates and say, hey, we're not going to win the game like this.
Yeah.
Right. And that is a conversation that you and I have had a couple of times is, I'm not really interested in their partner, but if you want to pursue that individual, go for it.
Yeah.
And as long as that couple plays separately, then great.
Yeah. You know?
And that's, I think whenever you start playing separately, that's when it gets a little bit easier.
Maybe that's because we have played together and I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I hope that we get to do some more of it, maybe soon. Yeah. but I think we got to, I don't know, quote unquote, grow up a little bit in the lifestyle as individuals versus being couples. So we were able to find things that we like how you are definitely more swinger versus me needing a little bit more connection and friendship before things happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You should never feel like you're taking one for the team. If you're not attracted to somebody, don't do it. You know, if you're not going to have a good time, don't do it. And that's with anything in life, anything.
Yeah.
If you're not going to have a good time, don't do it. You know, if you're,
I know it sucks for work. We're not talking about that stuff. Go to your jobs, but,
but like, you know, say you're going on a vacation and your spouse suggests, well, we could take this tour, but there's going to be like 97 screaming kids on this bus that we have to ride for 6 hours. And that doesn't sound like fun. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Let's just stay in the hotel and watch movies.
Yeah.
You know, like you can say that. You definitely can. Just because your spouse or your partner suggests something doesn't mean you have to go for it.
Exactly.
You know,
that you can. You have to be able to. You have to have that platform with each other.
Yeah.
That you can do that with.
And spouses and partners. If your partner tells you, "I'm not really into that," then say, "Okay, we'll do something different."
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Or explore. Be like, okay, what would you think about me exploring this a little further? Because Cody has some kinks that aren't my gig.
Yeah.
But we talk about it and he gets what he needs where he needs it.
Yeah.
You know, and because it works for us that way.
Yeah.
And I haven't really, that's the one thing. I feel so, when I'm talking to all of our friends in the lifestyle and all the things that they do, I still feel so vanilla. Like I feel so naughty because of Sparky.
I think I think it's because, and I'm going to say this, and I can edit it out if you want me to here in a second.
Oh, God.
You didn't figure out how to pleasure yourself until you were 30.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You always thought masturbation was yucky. So, of course.
Well, that's what I was taught.
Of course, anything beyond just regular vanilla sex, you're going to be like, no, that's taboo. I don't want to touch that. Right?
Yeah. Well, and, no, I'm not like that. I just don't think of stuff
first. I think subconsciously you might be like that. Or not, you were like
that. Oh, I think so.
I know you're not anymore because you and I do some stuff that would make regular people go, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
But I think you were like that. So
maybe because I don't think that's something I've, even with all the smut that I read, my brain, I'm not the initiator for whatever. I am a very dominant person and whatever, but I am not the initiator when it comes to spicy times. I don't know why. That's just the way it is. But oh shoot, get me right back on track. This is a good thought I had.
We were talking about kink. You were not the initiator for spicy times.
Yeah.
I don't really know where you were going.
I know where I was going. Okay.
I'm sure that was very pleasant.
Okay. Huh?
I said I'm sure that was very pleasant.
I'm so sorry.
Make sure you go back just a little bit, turn your volume in your car up really fucking loud. And listen to that again.
I started moving. I'm sorry. My butt was getting tired and now my like nervous energy is like, what the fuck were you talking about?
I think another thing too, I'm gonna fill in while you're thinking of that. I think another thing too might be you don't watch nearly as much porn as I do.
Well, okay. Well, yes, I wasn't. That's not how I never saw. I'm my dad, who was not a cool dude, but he had a little man cave, and in his bathroom, his wallpaper was like that of like a douchey frat, and so it had like he had Mod Podged or whatever Playboy magazine people that he liked best up all in this thing, and so I did. I mean, I didn't grow up, but when I visited him, I always went up there and looked. I've liked girls for so long that I like feel dumb that it took me that long to figure out that, like, hey.
Well, you were always taught that that was wrong too, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, part of the cult.
But I think that's what it is you were taught that these kinks are wrong. It's vanilla sex is the only way to have sex, and it should only be to make babies and blah 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 blah.
I don't believe the just make babies part. Yeah. But
as far as like, you know, when I'm watching porn, I'm not just watching porn to get off. Like, I'm watching for ideas, things that I might like to try.
Oh yeah.
And that's one reason that I want you to get stuck in the dryer. See, my brain didn't even
think of that. My brain is just thinking of your visual stimulation, not that you're thinking of a scene for us to do or whatever. No,
like
my brain just doesn't go there.
I've told you this before, and I'm being 100% honest when I say this. When I see these scenes, yeah, I'm seeing the porn star that's there, because you know I have my favorite porn stars. Watching them, but I'm also seeing you in these positions, right? Or you doing these things, and so that makes me think of, you know, okay, maybe I want to try this, or maybe I don't want to try this, you know. So, and I do, I watch a lot of porn. And that's where I get a lot of my ideas for these kinks from, is that would be fun to try. Let's try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like getting you stuck in a dryer and calling me for help. You know? Just shit like that. And that's where a lot of that comes from.
I guess.
You say, read smut, but I don't think you read the kinky smut that you think you do.
Oh, probably not. Oh my gosh. Listening to Haley and Tally?
Yeah.
No, I am not reading their level.
Yeah, so you're not presented with these ideas to try. You know, you're
well, and that dives into a term. Like I said, I'm not big on labels, but we talked about it for a little while. Being asexual or aromantic or whatever. I don't know if it's because I didn't really start diving into myself until I was 30. But I definitely have times where I'm like, yeah, let's do this, let's go. And more so when I've got more partners in the mix, because I like the fun things that me and you get to do when I come home from that.
I think because of that, you would be a lot more into group sex than you think you would be.
I like I said, this is where I've never thought about it, but if it were to present itself.
Because you've never been presented with that kink.
Yes.
You know.
I think we're talking in circles. I probably am. I think we're definitely LaRue.
We're saying exactly the same thing.
Okay.
Is you've never seen.
I forgot. The intellectuals versus the potheads over here.
No.
Breaking it down.
But you've never seen any of these kinks. You've never seen any of these ideas. So why would you want to try something that you have no idea even exists?
That's true.
You know what I mean? So then that's all that is. That's why I come to you with these ideas and you're like, okay, yeah, no, let's try it.
Yeah.
Now, you are a very kinky person, because 90% of the time, if I tell you, hey, I'd like to try this, okay, yeah, let's do it. So.
But that's because I never thought about it or.
No, that's not the reason. A non-kinky person would look at me with half of the shit that I say and go, abso-fucking-lutely not.
Why, really?
Who are you and you what are you doing in my house? Yes, 100%. 100%. There are things.
You're making me feel a little bit better about being like a baby lifestyler or
you kink are
person.
You are a lot more kinky than even you know. Because.
No, I'm not.
We just had this discussion literally 5 seconds ago. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, because you are so open to trying new things.
Well,
that's
just
why. That's just because you're more kinky than you know.
No, that's just how you're supposed to live life.
It's because you're more kinky than you know. Shut the fuck up.
Quit.
You quit.
Quit.
You quit. I win.
You're not getting a handy tonight then.
It made you cry last night.
I know. Oh my God. What the I'm telling you guys. Oh my God. My emotions. Like, is it time? Should I be tested again for like the perimenopausal or whatever? Everyone's like, no, you're too young. But I'm like, what the fuck is happening in my brain half the time? Yes. I wanted to give my husband some good luck charm. He had been asleep for like an hour and a half already. And I was feeling just, I really wasn't feeling frisky, but I wanted to do it for him. And kind of just like a good luck thing. And so that's what I did. And what made me cry? What was it? I mean,
I have no idea. I know in my mind. What it was you giving me a hand job made you cry. So I was like, well, fuck, we're not doing that again. It was nice, but never again.
Oh, my God. Oh, shoot. Now I'm really trying. It wasn't that.
I have no fucking idea. I don't know.
What made me cry right before bed? There was something weird that had come on.
I passed out as soon as I laid down. I have no fucking idea. But it was probably something you saw on TV and yes. You were still thinking about it. And then you thought about it right after. And that's what made you cry. But I know that I'm laying there and I'm on a cloud nine feeling great.
I'm so sorry. And I feel hurt. I really did do it because I wanted to do it. Like, yeah. I wanted to do that for you. I was excited to do it for you. And the fun kissy stuff that we do after that, you know, so I was I was there for all of it. But yeah.
And I was too. And then I'm laying there and I feel her bury her head into my chest. And I'm thinking, okay, this is nice. And then my chest is wet. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh my God. I can only imagine. I didn't think about this last night. Oh my gosh. You're making me laugh too hard.
Well, I guess if touching my dick makes you cry that much, then you'll never do that again. Cross that one off the list. And no more. I'm glad you're getting so much fucking enjoyment out of this. I'm heartbroken, goddammit.
I wish I could remember what it was, but I was stone cold sober last night. Remember, mm-hmm. I took all my medicine, but then I was too cold to get out of bed to go take my edibles.
Yeah.
And so my brain just never shut off, I guess. I don't freaking know. But no, I loved giving you the handy. I love that.
You got a real fucking funny way of showing
it. I love doing it. I love that, like, it surprised you. I love that, like, I could feel your, like, delight, you know, delighted surprise or whatever. I'm telling you, I'm gonna, if I remember, guys, I'll post it.
Yeah.
I will tell you.
This is what made me cry after the hand job.
Because that's what I have to, I guess, be in the morning when I'm not on edibles. I'm at the highest peak right now, explaining my gigs. So when I come back down to being just regular Heather, maybe it will come back to me.
Yeah.
So I'll put it on Facebook and let you guys know.
So let's get
definitely back in. Not Cody's dick. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. let's get back into this list.
I'm so sorry.
So we talked briefly about dishonesty, and I think there's a little bit more to it than the taking one for the team. You know, dishonesty overall in the lifestyle. I mean, that's the, you know, the first four, what episode number are we on? 5, 6, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
All of the first episodes up to now have been about what dishonesty does to a person and to a relationship. So any level of dishonesty in your relationship, you got to cut that shit out right now. Dishonesty is a cancer and it will kill your relationship 100%. This is one that I think I can touch on and that kind of has spurred me into being in the gym so much is physical rejection. I am a little on the shorter side. I am 5'8", 5'9" on a good day, depending on what the DMV measures me at. they measured me at 5'9" today. Thank you very fucking much.
All right. I'll give it to you.
But
next 4 years,
you know, in terms of that, you know, I can't be in my mind. I can't be short and fat. You know, I've got to have something else. There's beeping coming from somewhere.
I'll go check it out. You keep talking.
But anyway, anything, I've got to have something else to offer besides just, you know, short and fat. So, why is the alarm going off? Anyways, that's a look into our life. It's kind of hectic sometimes. So I started going into the gym, and I found that cures my depression. No, not cures, but it kind of helps with the depression. But also, it makes me feel more confident. And really, I've lost a ton of weight, but I don't feel like I look a whole lot different. But it helps me handle any kind of rejection better, even if it is that physical rejection. One thing that we have got to realize is that we are not going to be everyone's cup of tea. We have to be comfortable in our own skin. So as much as you can do, you need to do to feel confident, to feel comfortable in yourself. You know, as far as the person that sent this in, she's sexy as hell. And she says, you know, especially as a mom who's carried 4 babies and nursed them all. And you know, and it's, you're sexy as hell. And then none of that matters, but I know that, you know, in ourselves, we can pick out those flaws. We can see all of the negatives. And I wish Heather was in here right now. She's out turning out off an alarm, but I would be glaring at her right now as I'm saying that, because we pick out all of our own flaws and we want to work on those. 99% of the time, no one else is going to see those flaws as severely as you do. You know, they're going to see any amount of confidence that you put out. They're going to see that. They're going to see the version of you that you want everybody to see. And she's back in here now, so I'm going to repeat that.
That is a problem for mom to fix tomorrow, not tonight.
Okay.
Just so we know. They have set an alarm on the stupid clock, but my brain cannot figure out how to unset it.
Okay.
So Mom Heather will take care of it in the morning.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
So what I just said was, we have to be comfortable in our own skin, right? Physical rejection, period, is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Physical rejection, the way that we combat that is by being comfortable and confident in our own skin.
Okay.
The part that I'm going to glare at you about.
I know. I was like, I'm in trouble.
Is you're fucking hot, right?
Stop.
But you pick out your own flaws that you see, and 90% of the time, you are the only one that sees them.
That's not true.
Shh, don't interrupt.
Okay. I'm going to punch you in your face.
You are the only one that sees them, and you pick them out, and you pick at them, 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 until they're this giant open sore that you think everyone in the world can see. It's not true. So you pick at yourself and you put yourself down and you just damage your confidence because of these perceived flaws. But realistically, other people aren't seeing them, because I don't see the flaws that you see. I see a goddess sitting here.
I know.
That deserves
you would
to be
say
worshipped.
I look perfect in a potato sack.
Because you fucking would.
No, I wouldn't. You're okay. So silly.
But as far as physical rejection, though, one of the things that we need to remember is that rejection is going to happen in the lifestyle. There are going to be people who.
But don't be a dick about it. I mean.
Well, no, I'm talking about on a personal level. We'll get to that here in a second.
Okay.
You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to accept that.
Yeah.
Now, if someone is not your cup of tea, don't be an asshole.
Yeah, don't be.
Just say, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm not really, you know, I'm not really feeling it right now. Something like that. You can come up with something to say that is not, hey, you're not my type.
Yeah.
Or
I don't know.
Hey, I'm not attracted to you. Because that's actually, I don't know
if that's true. Me and you are people pleasers, to a fault. So we overthink that a little bit. So I wonder
but everyone experiences rejection.
Right? Oh, well, yeah, 100%.
And there is a difference in being a people pleaser and being a decent human being.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't want to hurt somebody. So you should think of a way to handle letting someone down, let them down easy.
Yeah.
You know? And don't just be a fucking asshole and be like, no, you're not my type. I'm not attracted to you. Not fucking interested. Never going to happen. Like, don't say that stupid shit.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
I have not.
Okay.
But I want to make sure that people listening.
I know.
That's not the way to handle it, right?
Yeah.
You can talk to people and say, you know, hey, I'm not really feeling it right now.
Yeah.
Or, hey, you know, I've just got a lot going on. I'm not really kind of not super interested in making new connections.
If you're
or
in
like
the groups and stuff, make that little note on your post that your DMs aren't open at that time or whatever, but you're
or,
trying
to
stay involved.
I've even seen a lot of girls post this lately is, you know, hey, if I'm interested, I will DM you. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And that's a really good way to do it.
That's true, but I won't be that way. Well, I can't be that
fine.
way.
That's fine. But, you know, and that's a good way to handle it, though, is, you know, you're not necessarily rejecting anybody at that point, but you are willing to step out and let your intentions be known with somebody who you are interested in. Yeah. You know? So that's a good way to handle it. But, you know, circling back around, we're all going to experience rejection at some point.
Yes.
And the way to handle that is by finding a way to build your own self-confidence. Like I said, I don't feel like I look a lot different than I did when I started working out. I know my arms are bigger and my chest is bigger. That's, well, and my shoulders, but that's about the only thing that I can really pinpoint. But my self-confidence is through the fucking roof because I'm putting this much work in on myself. And Heather's giving me a real funny look. Like I just said, we find our own flaws and we pick at them. And we only see those flaws. Where you might see something different, I see those flaws. So it's just the same fucking thing that I was just saying to you. So you can't give me that goofy ass look.
Don't you fucking mansplain to me, Cody Lynn McCaskill.
I just did.
You better just move right on. You'll make
it again? I'm going to do it again.
You think these viewers are mostly our friends, okay? They know I will hit a bitch. So you better knock it right the hell off.
You said it's my day. All right, I get to say whatever the fuck I want to. Because you said
that was not day. I did say it was your day, but I did not say that was an okay thing.
Okay, we have already addressed FOMO, so I'm not going to hit that one again. Let's see, this one, time. Not letting your new partner monopolize your time away from your spouse and family. This is incredibly fucking important that you handle your time well. Anytime you get into a new relationship, new situationship, whatever it is, there is going to be NRE, new relationship energy. You have to be willing to recognize that and say, hey, this is taking me away from my spouse. This is taking me away from my family. This is taking me away from, spending time with them and not constantly having conversation with you. So I'm going to cut back a little bit and, you know, kind of manage your time. Heather is fucking excellent at managing time, and I think it's because she is such a scheduler. You know, she will schedule things
years in advance. I'm a little bit type A, as yeah. Megan would say.
But you almost have to be. If you're going to do this in the lifestyle and you are going to make it work, you have to be willing to schedule things, right?
Yeah.
And really, really manage your time well.
Because I mean, heck, look at, shout out to the Claibornes and Youngs, because... Mm-hmm. Becca Boo over here,
mm-hmm.
working out of state, flying all the freaking time, having things. She is lined up, lined mm-hmm. out. I mean, I hate it because I'm like, hey, we're randomly going to do this tomorrow. You should come. And she's like, well, I can't because I'm scheduled out until blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, but I'm
scheduled out until 2027.
Yeah. So, but you really do. You have to have a little bit of organization in order to make it work and compromise. I mean, because you are giving up some of that time.
Yeah. Well, and your partner has to be willing to have a little bit of compromise too.
Yeah.
You know, and as a couple, you have to realize that when you come into this, there are going to be times where you would like to spend time with your partner, mm-hmm. but they are going to be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have agreed to this, then that's something that you're going to have to be okay with.
Yeah.
It's like I always say, what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander, right? So take us, for instance. If you're able to go and spend time with somebody
mm-hmm.
for a night, then I'm able to go spend time with somebody yeah. for a night. That's just the way that it works,
yes.
you know? And that's the way that we have made it work.
Yes.
And all I would have to do is say, hey, babe, I'm thinking about going and taking this girl out for a couple drinks.
Yeah. Because then, it would definitely, because we would have already been talking about it, you right. know, that's something else. We aren't just like sporadic, like, yeah. hey, this is happening. It's going to do it tonight. We both, I think, function a little bit better when, like,
when
there's a lead into it, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. So, just manage your time, really.
And communicate. Yeah. I know it's annoying.
You're going to find say that it. the basic way to get over most of this is communication. Really, 100%.
And it's freaking hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But we had to relearn how to communicate. You know,
yeah.
we found out once we got into the lifestyle that we really didn't know how to communicate before. You know, we were happily married. We were doing good, but our communication wasn't there. And we know that now that we have gotten so deep with this stuff.
Really? Yeah.
And we were able to sit and have these deep conversations with one another.
I mean, because relationships that last, you have to have these hard conversations.
Yeah.
They're you not, just have to.
They're not fun all the time.
No.
You know? And, but, you know, they have to be had, especially the ones that aren't fun, the ones that you're not looking forward to. Those conversations have to be had.
Yeah.
For your health, for your relationship's health, they have to be had. Mm-hmm. You cannot bury stuff and just hope it gets better because it won't.
It won't.
If you're going to fix a problem, you have to get to the root of the problem and fix it. And the only way to do that is to communicate about that problem and figure out why it's happening in the first place. So, communication, it's the...
And then the other person wanting to fix that too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you get where I'm going with that?
Kinda. Okay. You should want to fix the problem.
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, again, I guess it's just all about compromise. Like we keep saying, compromise and communication. There's like a list of things we'll say all the freaking time, but...
We'll have a dead horse and we'll beat the fuck out of it. And its name is compromise and communication.
Yes. I'm sure there's more, but right now those are the two C's that...
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you should want to fix the problem, but I think I get what you're saying. You know, the deal is not fixing the symptoms of the problem. You want to fix the problem itself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where being a fixer is hard, is because you're going to want to fix the symptoms of the problem. Hey, I see this is wrong. Let me fix this.
Yeah.
Well, no, dig a little deeper
and figure out why that's something me and you, we both are. Mm-hmm. So... That again, going back into communication, where prior to the lifestyle, we would get really frustrated with each other and just shut down. Mm-hmm. But now, having to talk these out a little bit more. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm still very emotionally stunted compared to you. And I'm not saying that in a way that I'm not saying you made a bad, ugly face at me just now, but I'm not saying that
because you're saying mean shit about yourself.
I think you had more emotional and parental and stuff support than I did. I was born to save my mom from my father because he was always beating her up and it was me coming into the room to save her all the time or whatever, you know? So I think you got to grow up with less, I guess, trauma. I mean, I know you had your own. I know it wasn't all sunshine and daisies, but
I had a good childhood.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say I didn't. I'm just saying mine was probably different because I mean we were poor and we went to a country school and single
mom.
I
had a lot of parental help and I had a lot of I had a lot of guidance in how to kind of.
And you got to be a kid,
right?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Because not only was I having to watch out for my mom, I also had two younger sisters, and so when things would go bad for mom or when she would go into a deep, dark space, which now, being a grown-up and being on my own mental health journey, it still breaks my heart that she wouldn't just get herself taken care of that way and how far she's fallen from who she is.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was I going?
Yep.
Man. Mel needs to teach you how to actively listen to what I say so you can get my thoughts.
The thing is, I'm actively listening, but I'm following your train, right? So when it goes off the tracks, I'm on the train.
I know, but I need you to like be ready to take over.
But one thing you got to remember is I'm not very smart.
You are so super smart. Shut up.
Okay, let's get back into this list. She mentions STDs, and, you know, this one, we're all worried about STDs, right? No one wants to catch STDs. So the thing is you have to get tested.
Yeah.
I've been tested. You've been tested. We get tested. We're going to start getting tested a lot more regularly.
Yeah.
I
was talking to one of our nurse friends, and she said, like, every 3 months is probably ideal, unless you're, like, super active than anymore.
You know, I think every 3 months would be fine, but yeah, think of a time for you and your partner to both go get tested. Just get tested regularly.
Yeah.
You know, and that really makes it
a moot point. That's the safety of the community. I mean, that's, don't be selfish.
Yeah. Use condoms if you want to,
protection. That's one, something what I wanted to see what you were going to say about that, because the message for her from our friend says,
she said, yeah, obviously everyone is using condoms, but still not everyone uses condoms.
I just wanted that to be so she knows that's a thing.
And I can say, you know, the past two partners I've had, I have not used condoms with. But it was because, you know, well, one was, it was kind of spur of the moment, but yeah. The other one was like, well, we know this person, we're not super worried about it.
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, it was okay, but you know, it goes to get tested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to have sex without a condom, get tested.
Yeah.
Even if you have sex with a condom, get tested.
Yeah.
For sure.
Just be responsible.
Be vigilant over your own body. You know, you want to be healthy.
Yeah.
It's not even so much about what you could be giving to other people. You want to stay healthy. You want to be healthy. So make sure.
Well, and we all want to keep playing. So we're gonna have to stop if we don't take care of ourselves and. You know what I'm, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, STD scares, they will happen. You know, there's going to be someone that says, hey, I just found out I have this. You know, you might want to go get tested. And on the way to the testing center, you're going to be like, fuck, do I have this? I'm nervous, you know. Then you go get tested.
But that's also, I mean, that's a hard reality that you have to take if you're going to be in the lifestyle that... Yeah. Those situations might happen.
Yeah, those situations are going to come up.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to panic about.
Yeah.
It's something that you go, you deal with, and you move on, you know.
Yeah. And whether that means moving on because you're able to get past it, then great. Mm-hmm. Or you find out that's too much for me. That's a scare. And you pull back.
I can say that, you know, the big scary ones that everyone's worried about, I haven't heard of anybody having those and still playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people have the maturity and the self, self-control is probably a good word for it to say, hey, I have this. There's a high chance I could give it to other people. It's a dangerous disease. I'm not going to play anymore.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I haven't heard of anybody having those diseases and still playing. So definitely still get tested. Still get monitored. Make sure that you are keeping your finger on the pulse, just like we do these check-ins every week with one another. You want to keep your finger on that pulse of your own health and what you could be carrying so that you don't give that to somebody else.
Yeah.
Just take control over it. Catching feelings. Now this one, is pretty self-explanatory.
No, I don't know. I don't think so because that's me and you are two different people when it comes to that.
Well, not really. So feeling more than just sexual attraction and navigating that while recognizing your spouse will always be your number one.
Mm-hmm.
When we first got into the lifestyle, I was terrified that you were going to catch feelings for someone else and that it was going to be over for us. And you know, this was a terrible decision and blah, 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 blah.
And I also had those same fears.
Yeah, and now I realize that I'm always going to be your number one.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether we want to make it hierarchical or not, there's not a way not to. We're married.
Yeah.
We're always going to be each other's number one. Whether we want a hierarchy or not, we're going to have one because we are married.
Yeah.
Right.
And I hate that, but like it just comes down to it being what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And if the other person can't handle that, then they don't need to be around.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you're always going to be my number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to be yours. And I recognize that now. So as far as catching feelings goes, I'm not as concerned about it. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm closed to it for myself right now, but it's not something that I'm pursuing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not something that I'm like, hey, I want a relationship with somebody else. Now, obviously, as you play and as you interact with and as you hang out with other people, those feelings are going to come up, whether it's a love as friendship or something romantic. That stuff is going to happen. And you have to talk with your partner and figure out what you're both looking for, right? Are you looking for a polyamorous relationship or are you just looking to play? If you're just looking to play, then you maybe want to talk with your partner about, hey, when these feelings start to come up, maybe we need to pull back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we need to discuss with this other person and say, hey, this is starting to happen. Maybe we need to take a break for a little while and then come back to it.
Yeah.
But as far as Heather and I go, you know, I don't think feelings are closed off for either one of us Mm-mm. anymore because we both recognize that the other will always be number one.
Yeah. You know? And I agree with what you're saying. That's what it is. I don't treat it like that though. You know what I'm saying? Like, but
explain.
Huh?
Explain.
Like in my brain, like, I understand in a way, yes, you are my number one. That's what it all comes down to. Mm-hmm. But the way I treat it, it's not like, I just love it. It's not like, It's not like percentages right. of a heart.
No, I get what you're saying, but at the end of the day, our relationship.
That's what I'm saying. I don't treat it though, that like my right. relationships.
But you do, and even though you don't realize it. At the end of the day, our relationship and our marriage is more important than anything else going on. Yeah. And the fact that you just so readily agreed to that shows that you do treat it like that, even though you don't realize it. Like, you're not dividing your heart into percentages, and you're not treating it like I'm more important than anybody
else. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
At the end of the day, I am, and you are. Oh. Because our marriage and our relationship is more important than anything else you got going on.
Yeah.
You know, except for the kids.
Yeah.
But we're talking about in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So in the lifestyle, our marriage and our relationship is more important than anything else. So regardless of whether we want it to be a hierarchy or not, it is. And it's the same way for me.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I know that you don't consciously treat it like that because you don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings, or you don't want to make them feel less than.
Yeah, right? Because I don't. Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I'm number one.
Yeah.
You're number one.
Yeah.
Right? And that's never going to change.
Yeah.
So it's important to recognize.
I'm not saying this sad or mad or anything, like, just so you know. I'm just, it's like.
No, she has a look of almost realization.
Yes. I was like, it's like a light bulb.
Light bulb.
Uh-huh. So.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. And that's never going to change. As long as I've got this ring tattooed on my finger, that's never going to change.
Well, does that. I don't know. I'm gonna reel back and have to look into some things now inwardly.
Are you having an existential crisis right now?
I think I am.
Oh shit! You are Heather. You are on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. You love me. We've been married for a minute. But going back to it, you know, catching feelings is gonna happen, and that's just human nature. You know, especially with the...
Because you just come to care about somebody.
Right. And it doesn't even have to be romantic. Mm-mm. You know, you can just come to care about somebody.
Well, like, okay, me and Sparky. That it's a friendship. That's basically all it is. And we've had some spicy times.
Mm-hmm.
And can I introduce my hypothesis yet?
Sure.
Okay. Time for Heather's hypothesis.
Fucking nerd.
Okay.
Go read a book. Do your science homework. Okay. Introduce your hypothesis.
Okay. So, Sparky was... technically he wasn't my first, but Cody understands and, you know. You get what I'm going? I don't want to say anything about it. Okay. Start over. Sparky was my first after... Dumbhead.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, he also shared some qualities of Dumbhead, being big and tall and larger than me, and knowing just the right way to cuddle, just like Dumbface, or whatever. Oh God, what are we talking about?
How did you forget?
Oh, no. Here we go. Okay. No, sorry.
This was your conversation.
I know. There's too many of me in there. I was like stuck in my feels. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like I'd been in this relationship for so long. So it was like insta connection or whatever, like heart connection. And like I said in the first couple episodes, he gently reminded me like, hey, that's not what we're doing. And it stung, but then we like hung out again. And it was just fun, like BS in each other conversations. Mm-hmm. And then was a second time. And then, it was not as bad as the first time. My brain still kind of battled like, don't like him, but I do. But like, also I have ADHD. So I'm just hyperfixating because somebody's giving me attention, and you know, like there's so many thoughts swirling in my brain about that. And then we hang out a third time and have spicy times a third time. And coming home from the third time, I called Cody and I was like, oh my God, I think I have to have sex with somebody three times so my brain like gets it out of like romantic motion. I hate your face right now. I wish I could freaking punch you, and you better be glad there's a coffee table in between us. You freaking mother effer. I hate you so much, your face. But that's my hypothesis, is Ed Cody knows the conversation when I came home, because he was like, babe. And I'm like, no. So I haven't had a play partner since Sparky to test it. But I guess it's a preface for the next person that I get to have sex with, that we're gonna for sure get it three times to see if it works. But that's, it did, it changed. And so, like, I don't know. So when I enjoy talking to Sparky, we check in, we send each other, you know, funny shit or whatever. But after then, it was just different in my head.
So let me get this.
Oh my God.
Let me get this straight.
Yes.
Your brain is a computer.
I don't know.
Pre-programmed with the number 3.
I don't know.
You have to execute this process 3 times.
You know, the Holy Trinity. I mean, it could be something that's just been burned into my brain with
fucking
3.
Tarot cards don't mean anything, okay?
Shut Stop. Up. Oh my gosh. Tarot cards
and the crystals.
What are you talking about?
Okay, they believe as much as you believe. No, they mean as much as you believe they mean. I don't believe in the crystals at all. And tarot cards is all just luck of the draw, is all that is.
Oh, who are you?
I'm just letting you know.
I'm going to have to do a tarot spread on you later.
Oh, yeah? I bet we could do it twice, and it wouldn't be the same thing twice.
Or, what the fuck if it did? It would blow your freaking mind.
If it did, it would make me a believer. If we could do it twice, and I'd pull the same thing twice, or similar twice, even, I'll give you similar. If I get similar things twice, I would be a believer. Or I would be at least a little bit more open to believing it. But right now, it's a card deck. It's luck of the draw.
I'm literally going to take another edible after this.
No,
we're
going to bed, because I have to get up and take the kids to school, and then I have to go to the gym, and then I have to go all the way to another town to pick up truck parts and come all the way back.
Is there anything fun? Like, on your way to Chandler?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really.
Okay, I was going to say, if you pick me up, I'll go with you, but no, if it's going to be just driving, then...
It's just going to be boring driving.
Okay. I want to print more pictures. Try to fill all the frames that I have just got around the house that are empty from dumb face. So
I think I literally go down I-40 and then go north for just a little bit, and then I'm there.
Okay.
It's a little bitty town.
Okay.
I've got to go to a graveyard, and this guy lives on the edge of a graveyard, and go pick up these parts. And...
Okay, circling back, do we need to go to the other questions, or have we gotten everything?
No, that was everything. I forgot what we were talking about. So...
Haha, you did.
Oh, no, yeah, we're going to bed after this. I told you I'm tired. I don't want to do tarot spreads tonight.
But anyways, yes, 3. There is a computer, I guess, in my brain somewhere.
After 3 times.
I don't know.
It's unlocked.
It just was different. I came home, the music was hitting right, I felt good, and I just have been chill about, I feel like how I was in college, where it was like... friends with benefit roster that when it happens and it's fun, you know? So,
but I think, you know, catching feelings is normal. It's going to happen. The important thing,
look at you trying to come back all smart when you were the guy that lost the track.
I did. It's gone. The track has fallen off the side of the mountain. So,
it's not just me.
It's normal. And the way that you deal with catching these feelings is, drumroll, communication. 100%.
What was it?
Communication.
Oh my gosh. One more time.
Communication. You got to talk with your partner, and you got to say, hey, I think, you know, be honest. I think I'm catching feelings for this person. How do you want to handle it? You know, or how should we move forward?
Yeah, you're making it very boy, because I know you approaching me like that would put me into a panic. So I know you would have to come at me more gentle than being like, hey, yo.
Okay.
So, hey, yo, bitch. So, I got this girl that we've been talking to and blah, 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 blah.
So think of a gentler way to say it. I guess for me, it's logic, right? I have this situation happening.
Yeah.
I want to let you know about this situation. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything else other than the information I am presenting to you. Now, I know that
well, that just girl, might be an insecurity because of what's happened before.
Right. But. And now for her, what she's referencing is I polybombed her before. Mm-hmm. You know, she was in a poly relationship. I was like, you know, I want to try that. That's awesome. And then I went, you know, head first into this and I handled it entirely wrong. I lied to her. I did a bunch of stupid shit. And because of that, it's.
I was like, no, you did not want a poly relationship. That's where the lie started.
No. I did. And that was when I was, because I had started talking to that one girl and then. No, I was very open with you about that. But then I had just jumped. I had found this other girl and we matched on, I think, Facebook or something like that. And it was just kind of. I think
we're talking about two different girls now.
Okay, we might be. But yeah, I had told you that that's what I was looking for. And.
No, because what it was is you guys were saying the L word and you had not communicated with me that you right, were trying to do that.
I hadn't told you that it was anywhere near that level. Yes. And she had asked me straight up, have you told her you love her? And I said no. And, you know, I was doing it another way. I was being kind of a piece of shit about it. And it's I was being dishonest about it. And it's not the right way to handle things. And
yeah, because yeah. You didn't want to be.
No, I did. Numerous. I did. And I tried it and it didn't work. And no, I remember. It would take years of scrolling, but I could get back to it and I could show you the conversations that we had. I know, I
could do the same thing too.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree on that one. Okay. But don't polybomb your spouse. You know, and that's
just more communication. I mean, yeah. That's what it keeps doing.
Yeah. You know, don't come out of nowhere and say, hey, I all of a sudden want a relationship with this person. You know, talk to them and say, these feelings are starting to come up. What are our avenues? How would we go about this? You know what yeah. I mean? You know, now
that could be taking a step back. Like you said earlier,
yeah,
it just figure you just the communication and compromise mm-hmm. where do you go with it?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, it's almost like you have to, you can't really tiptoe and try something. Like, right. You kind of have to do it, and then it's like, okay, that was okay. Or, nope, not my gig.
Well, and that's, you know, half the stuff that we've got nose on is because we've tried it. And
yeah.
And it doesn't work, yeah. You know? So we say, yeah, maybe we don't try that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it's.
And that's what I'm saying. You kind of have to mess up to yeah. figure out what's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hope that's like poetic because in my brain I'm like, listen to me all LaRue spouting wise things.
Totally poetic, baby.
It is. Shut up.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It was. It was nice.
You're a jerk.
How am I a jerk? I was telling you that it was beautiful mm-hmm. and it was nice.
You're patronizing me.
I am not patronizing you.
I'm going to punch you.
You see what I have to deal with? All right. Well, we are way over time for the episode.
Oh, what are we at?
We're at an hour and a half right now.
Oh.
So.
Well, it's because of your big day.
Yeah. But we got through the list. I think that we addressed everything. I think we talked about everything pretty well.
And if we didn't, friend, let us know and we can dive back into it.
Yeah, or we can figure totally out, get back into it.
Yeah, or we can figure out where we need to dive more into explaining what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
So next week, we will be doing this remotely. You'll know it because the audio settings will be just a little bit different. I'll try to fix as much of it as I can in editing, but yeah. So I'll be in North Dakota. Heather will be here, and yeah, we'll figure that out when the time comes.
Yep.
But for now, do you have anything else that you want to tell our lovely listeners?
No. You put me on the spot. I can't do that. You know that.
That's kind of why I like doing it.
I know. You don't like it either.
But we are going to end the episode right there. Just remember, until next time, stay safe and love yourselves because we love you.
Bye.
Bye.